This is CJSF 90.1 FM, broadcasting to you from Simon Fraser University's Burnaby campus in British Columbia.
This is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith.
Tumbling sound, logs and houses floating down.
Welcome to Disaster World. We broke it. Now we must pay. When flash floods or record-breaking heat assault and astound us, scientists used to say individual events cannot be attributed to climate change, only trends. That is over. Our pollution of the atmosphere is creating disasters outside human experience. In Western Europe, new deadly heat is killing thousands of people. You all heard about deadly flash floods in Texas, New Mexico, and North Carolina in a single week. Already scientists lay out the facts. Extreme disasters have increased many times over since 1990. This is climate change. Let's start with Europe. Unless you live in France, Spain, Germany, or the UK, you don't know. Heat from the end of June to early July was brutal. They even closed the Acropolis for a few hours. A massive heat dome sat over the continent. Sea surface temperatures in the western Mediterranean surged up to 6 degrees C, above normal for this time of year. That ocean heat wave alone is bizarre and frightening. It seems impossible. We don't know what it means or what the impacts might be on sea life or our weather. Researchers from the Grantham Institute found, quote, "Human-caused climate change intensified the recent European heat wave and increased the number of heat deaths by about 1,500 people in 12 European cities." Focusing on 10 days of heat from June 23rd to July 2nd, the researchers estimated the death toll using peer-reviewed methods and found climate change nearly tripled the number of heat-related deaths, with fossil fuel use having increased heat wave temperatures up to 4 degrees C across the cities. They warn that heat wave temperatures will keep rising and future death tolls are likely to be higher until the world largely stops burning oil, gas, and coal and reaches net zero emissions. It is the first rapid study to estimate the number of deaths linked to climate change for a heat wave and was led by scientists at Imperial College London and the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine. That's an end quote from a press summary by Imperial College London. Let me just add, these are no fringe scientists looking for a career bump. Grantham Institute and the co-authors are among the top in their field. They tend to be conservative and scientifically cautious. The study is titled Climate Change Tripled Heat-Related Deaths in Early Summer European Heat Wave in July 2025. Find a link in my blog. Let's hear a couple of minutes from two study authors, Garifalos Konstantinoudis and then Frederica Otto.
In late June and early this month, a heat wave brought extreme temperatures to Europe. Our study, published today, estimates that climate change tripled the expected death toll. It focused on 10 days of heat experienced by 12 cities from June 23 to July 2nd. Our study estimates that there would have been about 2,300 heat-related deaths across the cities, with 1,500 of them caused by the climate change-driven heat. This means that climate change is behind 65% of the excess deaths. Our results reflect how heat deaths can increase rapidly when temperatures reach certain thresholds that push vulnerable populations to their limits, particularly older people with underlying health conditions like heart disease, diabetes, and respiratory problems. An increasing heatwave temperature of just 2 to 4 degrees can mean the difference between life and death for thousands of people. Heatwaves don't leave a trail of destruction like wildfires or storms. This is why heatwaves are known as silent killers. Most heat-related deaths occur in homes and hospitals, out of public view, and are rarely reported. Our study is only a snapshot of the true death toll linked to climate change-driven temperatures across Europe, which might have reached into the tens of thousands.
This analysis is a hugely important development for the field. Since the early 2000s, dozens of attribution studies have shown how heat waves are getting hotter with climate change, typically by about 2 or 3 degrees. This study shows why these changes are so dangerous. Only a handful of studies have estimated heat-related death caused by climate change. Ours is the first ever to do it rapidly in near real time. The only way to avoid more intense heat waves is to stop burning oil, gas, and coal. Shifting from fossil fuels to renewable energy will lower emissions that heat the climate and intensify heat waves. We also need to make our cities resilient to high temperatures. Long-term strategies such as expanding green and blue spaces are needed. Short-term measures like cooling centers and formal support systems for vulnerable populations will also help save lives now.
That was the well-known climate scientist Frederica Otto speaking about their new study clearly showing extreme heat is increasing and killing thousands of Europeans. This is not a small thing. According to the UN World Health Organization, or WHO, their regional director, Dr. Hans Kluge, said, a staggering 175,000 people die from heat-related causes every year in Europe. Let me read that again. 175,000 people die from heat-related causes every year in Europe. And that figure is set to soar in line with our steadily warming planet. End quote. That is more than 8 times the number of people killed in road traffic accidents across the EU. Is this a problem? Obviously, more Europeans will want to save their lives and their loved ones from the new extreme heat. Many simple steps in society and government can help. After catastrophic loss of life in the 2003 heat wave, France took steps that somewhat reduced loss of life. And this may include things like checking on neighbors and shut-ins, cooling centers for the homeless and poor, public education about what to do and when heat is getting to you, planting street trees, and all of that. But now, as we leave climate action far too late, it's not enough. Northern European buildings were constructed to retain heat in winter and not to dissipate it in summer. There need to be long, expensive programs of insulating old homes and public buildings to reach net zero standards for survival. And that is not enough, and it doesn't come soon enough. Hundreds of millions of Europeans will install air conditioners or heat pumps in the coming years. The AC debate is raging in Europe these days. Millions of air conditioners blast even hotter air into the streets. They are noisy. They create a new summer electricity demand that may increase old energy plants, which make global warming worse. Can Europe race to power life-saving cooling with green energy? Or will they accept hundreds of thousands dying each year, counting it like a new plague? Assuming the poor are left to the last, could a heat wave lead to revolution or civil war? The unknowns multiply with each tenth of a degree of warming. Stranger still, if technology provides a fix for survival at 4 degrees C hotter in European cities and fewer people die, The immediate problem of climate change might feel like it's solved. Getting off fossil fuels seems less likely and will be proclaimed dangerous. Well, that's like a new report from the formerly staid U.S. Department of Energy. They're pushing to keep coal plants operating and new fossil power just going and going to cope with rising electricity demand. The DOE has been visibly taken over by the fossil fuel lobby in the U.S. Don't be fooled. Some American government institutions, even former scientific ones, are being reissued as propaganda tools. Sad.
This ain't normal. This ain't right. This ain't a mystery, Jack. You burn the sky, it floods you back. Burn the sky, it floods you back.
UK scientists rapidly determined recent European heat was made worse and more likely by excess greenhouse gases. But what about the flash floods that captivated the American news networks? In the first week of July 2025, there were, as you know, flash floods in Kerrville, Texas, Reduso, New Mexico, Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and Chicago. In Chapel Hill, well inland from the Atlantic coast, responders rescued people from shopping malls and roads. The Ha River reached a new record, up 32.5 feet, while the Eno River went up 25 feet. As in New Mexico and Texas, the speed of river cresting was astonishing in North Carolina. A wall of water and debris came downstream before the warnings were out. No one was killed this time. The Chapel Hill floods were attributed to remnants of Tropical Storm Chantel. In the remote mountain town of Reduso, New Mexico, there was a double climate connection. They got a super rain flash flood event. We will get to that. But according to the Washington Post, quote, the flooding was triggered by approximately 3.5 inches of rain falling on a burn scar in about a 90-minute period, pushing water directly into the community, the mayor said. The burn scar was the result of wildfires that ravaged thousands of acres in that area last year, including the South Fork Fire. Yes, 2023, actually, was a year of extreme wildfires burning through New Mexico during one of its longest drought heat waves ever. But the River Reduso area was burned by the South Fork and Salt fires in 2024. Hundreds of homes were lost. Radio EcoShock has covered the extensive links between climate change and extreme wildfires in at least a dozen shows. I'll give you links to those interviews with scientists in my show blog at ecoshock.org. So Reduso suffered a compound climate event, as we have talked about on this show, wildfire scars followed by flash floods. That is how climate change works.
Radio EcoShock.
In June 2022, Jonathan Gourley from the NOAA National Severe Storms Lab co-authored a paper about U.S. floods. The open-access paper is called Spatiotemporal Characteristics of U.S. Floods, Current Status and Forecast Under a Future Warmer Climate. They found overall flood frequency increases 100%, covering 44% more area with, quote, more random and unpredictable events throughout the year, end quote. That sounds as serious as sea level rise and heat waves to me. I'm going to replay that interview for you shortly. But let's get to the hundreds dead along the Guadalupe River on the 4th of July. What an awful mess this is in Texas. As in Chapel Hill and New Mexico, stunning videos show a river that became a land tsunami in minutes. During the night, 10 inches of rain fell in the Kerrville region. The quiet Guadalupe River rose 29 feet in 45 minutes. Think about that. The Houston Chronicle, July 9th, ran this story by Rebecca Ward. Climate change worsened rainfall that triggered Camp Mystic floods like steroids for the weather. Texas climate scientists like Andrew Dessler pointed immediately to climate change. That is courage in the current anti-climate, anti-science environment in America these days. He will get a chorus of criticism and boos and possibly death threats. Three European scientists just released a fast report about it too. Their title is Heavy Rain in July 2025 Texas Floods, Locally Intensified by Human-Driven Climate Change. Lead author is David Faranda from the French National Center for Scientific Research. Co-authors are from Oxford and INGV in Italy. There was no heat wave in Central Texas on July 4th. Temperatures were a bit below average. While this scientific team finds natural climate variability is a factor in those flash floods, the speed and magnitude of this event could not have happened without a warmer atmosphere. In scientific language, quote, natural variability alone cannot explain the changes in precipitation associated with this very exceptional meteorological condition, end quote. Yes, it was climate change, no matter what the governor or the president says. Mind-bending flash floods are appearing in many parts of the world in the last 3 years especially. They washed through old European cities and recently hit parts of Russia. China experienced epic flash floods this year and last. Australia had unbelievable downpours in hours. Their rivers swelled up and overflowed the banks. This is a global threat. A paper published in March 2021, led by Nicholas Christidis, said this about the United Kingdom's prospects. Compared to a hypothetical natural climate, we estimate a tenfold increase in the chances of such extreme rainfall events in the United Kingdom by the end of this century, which underlines the need for effective adaptation planning, end quote. I'm going to draw on reporting from environmental journalist Stephen Leahy in his Need to Know Substack. Quote, record high 24-hour rainfall extremes occurred 52% more often in 2024 than during the 1995-2005 period, according to the 2024 Global Water Monitoring Report. 52% more often in 2024 alone. Recall last year's devastating flash floods in Valencia, Spain? Stephen Leahy asks. He says, over 770 millimeters, 30 inches of rain in just a few hours. It was Spain's worst weather disaster, claiming 232 lives and totaling 18 billion euros in damages, with 11,242 homes destroyed and 120,000 vehicles written off. It also turns out that hotter ground temperatures lead to stronger updrafts of water-laden air masses. These then cool down faster, resulting in heavier rainfall, according to a new study in the journal Nature. This has led to a 15% increase in torrential rainfall events lasting only a few hours, as well as an increase in flash flooding. The temperature increase caused by climate change leads to more intense precipitation locally, the study concluded. Thank you, Stephen Leahy at Substack, for digging into all of this for us. Find a link to that 2024 Global Water Monitoring Report in my weekly blog at ecoshock.org. Folks, we all need to learn about this new flash flood phenomenon. We need to be prepared. Stephen points to new science published in the journal Nature in March 2025. The title is Increasing Hourly Heavy Rainfall in Austria, Reflected in Flood Changes. This is the smoking gun, but as always with Earth systems, there is a twist. The Austrian weather stations reported a 15% increase in hourly heavy rainfall over the last four decades. Most of this is from higher water holding capacity in a warmer atmosphere. But the daily figures for heavy rainfall, the longer lasting variety, depend more on atmospheric changes due to warming. The results warn small rivers may be more dangerous than large ones. Here's a quote from the abstract of that 2025 paper. They find a bigger role of atmospheric circulation modes than previously thought. The daily heavy rainfall changes are remarkably consistent with observed flood increases of about 8% in large catchments. The hourly heavy rainfall changes are similarly consistent with flood changes in small catchments, although the flood increase is stronger, 25% over the last four decades. Climate adaptation measures in flood management may therefore be more pressing for rivers draining smaller catchment areas than for large rivers, end quote. I hope emergency planners are listening, as well as listeners who think that they are safe beside small rivers or streams. Maybe don't put your house or tent or RV down by the river in this brave new climate. Again, bolstering weather services, better emergency warnings like sirens and rules about buildings and camping can save lots of lives. I hope we do. We tend, though, to only pay attention to deaths, so a reduction may hide the growing problem for a while, until it gets worse. Also strange, some developed countries, especially those that dismantle science and public policy, or consider themselves masters of the universe, are lagging behind poorer countries in adapting. Following mass deaths during tsunamis and tropical typhoons, both India and Bangladesh greatly improved public policy to protect lives. For example, Bangladesh built shelters along the coast that resist extreme winds and high water. The Indian Army has evacuated 1 million people with countless trucks before a typhoon could hit. Why are Europeans and Americans so blindsided by the new heat waves and flash floods? There must be psychological, social, and cultural barriers to recognize this face of climate change. Those of us who pollute the most, maybe we excuse ourselves from the scene until the dragon comes. Let's get to my 2021 interview with Jesse Norris from UCLA. Dr. Norris specializes in these small-scale but large-impact weather events.
This is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith.
On Saturday, 21st of August, an impossible 17 inches of rain, 43 centimeters, fell on Waverly, Tennessee, a little town west of Nashville. More than 20 people were killed in a surprise rush of water. In Europe, mid-July, record-busting rains brought floods, killing at least 165 people in Germany and 31 in Belgium. Extreme precipitation events are popping up all over the world. Could it happen where you are? And is it climate change? At the University of California, Los Angeles, Dr. Jesse Norris specializes in these small-scale but large-impact weather events. Educated in the UK at the University of Manchester, Norris is a postdoctoral researcher at UCLA and co-author of a timely new scientific piece answering many of our questions. From Southern California, Jesse Norris, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Good morning. Nice to be on.
Why are these strange torrents of water popping up all over the world, surprising even scientists?
So in the study that we've recently published, we've looked at the intensification of precipitation extremes around the world. And so if you imagine the most intense precipitation events that occur in any location, our study is finding that on a global scale, so when you can consider the whole globe collectively, they are intensifying, so they have been intensifying in recent decades, which we have attributed to anthropogenic climate change, that means man-made climate change, and are projected to continue doing so. And so our study does not really go into this, but on an essential level, it's because as the climate warms, it can hold more water vapor, and so when the really extreme storms happen, they have more water vapor available to precipitate out. And so we're typically seeing when those most extreme events happen, they have more available moisture to precipitate. On a basic level, that's leading to intensification. There are various other physics involved that can change that relationship.
Right, and it's not just happening in places reported by the Western press. I've seen these events pop up in Chad and in South America, in Australia. It's really kind of a strange phenomenon. Now, you specialize in something called mesoscale meteorology. What is that, and how does it compare with the big weather maps we see on TV?
So mesoscale is a scale of weather that's typically on the scale of tens to hundreds of kilometers. So it's essentially the study of how precipitation systems affect, how regional precipitation can be affected by processes that are occurring on a relatively small scale. So this is in contrast to what we call the synoptic scale, which is the scale of oceans and continents where large-scale weather systems evolve. But then when we look at the mesoscale, there are much more complicated processes which are involved, which can intensify precipitation locally, depending on what's happening in that specific region.
A few scientists on this show, and certainly the IPCC reports, tagged extreme precipitation events as a developing threat in a warming world. But the big models did not pick up such high intensity of localized events like those seen this year. What are the problems between those big models and the kind of work we need?
So there are a lot of processes occurring, as I explained, on the mesoscale, and even going smaller on what we call the convective scale. So the mesoscale is looking at processes on the scale of tens to hundreds of kilometers, but then what we call the convective scale, which is just on the scale of 1 kilometer or less, there are processes which are very complex and involve very complex physics, which as much as models are advancing, there are always going to be processes that are occurring unexpectedly in the atmosphere, which can lead to intensification on very short timescales that might not have been seen by models. So all the time improvements are being made to make the forecasting models to give them more accurate precipitation forecasts, but there are still very complex processes occurring on very small scales where a large-scale storm can interact with the local geography to locally intensify precipitation and lead to precipitation amounts in very small areas which are extremely intense and have been leading to the devastation that you described.
Is extreme rainfall or snowfall, when the air is cold enough, are they limited to certain locales known for rain, or can they happen almost anywhere in the world?
Yes, so there are certain regions which are certainly more prone to extreme precipitation events, so that's the combination of rainfall and snowfall. Generally, we look to the tropics to be the most at-risk areas, which is where there's the most warmth in the atmosphere by association can lead to the greatest rainfall or snowfall amounts. But also in other parts of the world, when the conditions are just right, so we've seen, as you described, in Western Europe, which is in what we call the mid-latitudes, and also here in Southern California, in the subtropics, whichever type of region it is, we can still see, although average precipitation might not increase, we can still see individual events that can really wreak havoc. And depending on the processes that cause precipitation in the local region, those, when the conditions are just right, due to greater warmth in the atmosphere associated with climate change, those can become all the more intense as the climate warms.
Where I live in Western Canada, we just went through a 7-week heat wave, including the hottest temperatures ever recorded in this country, and the U.S. West was even hotter. And looking at the surrounding hills outside my home, I could see a haze of the last of the water being sucked out of the ground, heading into the sky. Does water from the drought-stricken West add extra juice to rainfall in other places?
That's a pretty complicated question. I suppose it can. So when water vapor is evaporated from the surface somewhere, it can be transported somewhere else. And when there's all the more water vapor in the atmosphere, that can lead to all the more intense precipitation in whichever region experiences the storms. So yes, in theory, as a general perspective, the more water vapor in the atmosphere, which can be stored in the atmosphere or in the land surface, wherever that water vapor ends up when it precipitates out, that can cause all the more intense storms, all the more intense rainfall amounts.
But I guess most of the water up there actually comes from evaporation off the oceans. Is that correct?
That's right, yes. But again, with warmer surfaces, that evaporation is going to be all the greater. And then because the atmosphere is warmer, it's capable of storing all the more water vapor. So whether it's in the ocean surface or the land surface, the warmer temperatures are going to lead to greater evaporation, and so greater amounts of precipitation.
Within weeks of the deadly July 13th floods in northern Europe,